Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, January 26, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Splendid.
Awesome. Splendid is always a good thing. And Kelly Goumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm glorious.
Splendid and glorious. That's absolutely fantastic. Awesome. And so rare for a Monday morning.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. So I have a couple topics I thought would be kind of fun for today. And the first one goes into pillage and plunder territory, kind of. And by pillage and plunder, I mean Apple hired another former Burberry employee. And Brian, you wrote up this piece.
I did. So Apple continues to turn to the fashion industry for executives. And that's just super interesting. You know, we started talking about this a long time ago, right? We had Yves Saint Laurent fellow.
Yes.
We had
Paul Denouvet, right?
Yeah, Paul, right, thank you. And and then another one of Paul Denouvet's employees from Yves Saint Laurent. We have folks from Levi Strauss in the retail side. We have actually a person from Levi Strauss that we know about. We have someone coming from Nike.
A couple people from Nike.
Then we had the big, huge mega hire, the woman who was listed first amongst all of the executives on Apple's executive leadership page is Angela Arendts, who comes from Burberry. And then her social media guru, Musaq Tariq, also from Burberry. And now we have yet another person from Burberry coming. And these are there's been some other folks, too. There was a Louis Vuitton hire. There was oh, I have them all in the story, which I am just now pulling up because that's how I roll.
More sausage being made.
Yeah, more sausage being made. Sorry about that.
Tag Heuer, I think, is the only one that you didn't mention that's in the list.
Yes, you're correct. At least one executive from Tag. So, I mean, just...
And remember, this is executives, and it's executives that we know about. So there could be lower-level people who have flooded in from any of these companies that we just aren't hearing about because it's not necessarily a press release because they hired a few people that used to work at some place that sells clothes or whatever.
Well, and credit where credit's due, Chester Chipperfield, who both of you pointed out was named at a young age by Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
His hire was found by 9to5 Mac, who put it together mm-hmm. from various LinkedIn posts and Mr. Chipperfield's own tweets. But so, you know, Apple's been doing this for a while. But here's the interesting thing. To our knowledge, Apple is still the only Silicon Valley tech giant hiring from the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm. Now, I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tells me is that Apple's looking at this market as something that they can change. Well, of course, that's why they're getting into it. They can change it and make money. But they're looking at this from the standpoint of how do we make the technology personal as opposed to the other companies, which are just trying to figure out which
how
features
do we
put on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, well, and Ardman, I think – go ahead.
I'll make this point. Ardman, one of our longtime readers at the Mac Observer, made this great comment. I'm just going to quote, "With all the fashion luxe industry hands that Apple has hired, anyone who thinks that their foray into wearables and luxury goods starts and ends with the Apple Watch are sorely mistaken. Apple is transforming itself into the first tech luxury company in the world, and they're doing it in the right way, not by easing up on the tech side, but by building up on the luxury side. Because in truth, luxury goods that don't also lead on the tech side are not true luxury goods." It's a fantastic observation.
Right. And the thing that I was going to say is I think part of what the fashion hirings indicate is that they're looking for something that they don't have, which may be insight into the fashion industry. I mean, everybody sort of has – most people wear clothes. So most people have at least a passing idea of their trends or anything. And particularly if you're a woman, you can tell a whole lot about the fashion industry because every shop you go into sells the same thing. Whatever it is, if it's flowers this year, everything has flowers on it. Doesn't matter where you shop. If it's stripes, if it's a particular color, that's always the same. And so I think what they're looking for is a little bit of insight into some, which is something they don't have. Like they're pretty good with the technology. They've been at it for a while. And it seems like what they're looking for is the insight into people and exactly like what you were saying, what makes it personal, but also what makes it industry. Because remember, the first official non-Apple sighting of the Apple Watch was the cover of Vogue magazine.
Vogue China.
It was China, but it was Vogue.
And Apple has shown the Apple Watch at jewelry events.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, which kind of begs the question, most of, to our knowledge, most of these folks have been sort of on the retail side. Like we know the Levi Strauss fella was he took a rank demotion when he went to Apple, but he was involved in Levi's retail arm. The guys from Nike, you covered those, Jeff. Those weren't retail guys, though, were they?
No, they're from the R&D side.
Yeah. Right, and yeah, and we kind of took them as a sort of a technology play at the time, right? A health and fitness play on Apple's part.
Yeah,
sure, and I think that's still part of the play.
That
certainly.
Is sure. Not really sure what the Louis Vuitton hire is doing. We know that the tag person was a vice president of marketing. Mm-hmm. So again, that's some more to sales. Paul Denev could be doing anything.
Yeah. Well, so can Chester, because it looks like Chester Chipperfield's official group is Special Projects.
He is Special Projects, which is where Apple Watch has been.
Mm-hmm. But
we don't know what, I mean,
is plural. So,
right. He could technically be working on something other than Apple Watch. He could be working on selling Apple Watch online. Right. Sure. And as a matter of fact, his job at Burberry suggests that that's what it could be. But before he worked at Burberry, he was selling devices from HTC, Orange, and BlackBerry. So he's sold technology products before. And he also did some various information architecture projects in years past too. And he's a young man. He's like a 30-something, 32, I think. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting to see where Apple's going with this. It's going to be interesting to see how they end up selling this. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see how much of a transformation of Apple Tim Cook is in the process of taking us down.
I think the transformation, when we look back a couple years from now, will be very significant. And that's because Apple is looking at fashion as it relates to high tech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we'll be seeing a lot more fashion-related technology coming from Apple. I think Apple Watch is just the beginning.
Yeah, so, you know, how many of these people are involved on the development side of things, though? And we don't really have a...
We don't know.
We don't have a good question for that. And as Jeff, I think it was you that said it just a few minutes ago that... or maybe it's Kelly, but we have no idea how many lower level people Apple has been pulling from the fashion world.
That's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, how many people that are key in these various parts of the industry are now working for Apple? But we don't know because they haven't updated a LinkedIn profile, and they're not dropping little hints on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a new job.
Or they did update it, but it's not something that people necessarily think will rate. You know, like it's not worth a mention that Apple hired, you know, engineers or whatever. Like in some cases, I think there's a certain amount of newsiness, you know, that somebody's looking for. And this guy, higher up, you know, Special Projects, these are going to be some he's probably working on some interesting things. So I think there's probably a fair number of people who are the development folks, you know, people who maybe worked on, like, the Nike folks, you know, they were probably hip deep in the Fitbands before the Fitband went away. So there's an excellent chance that they can talk, that they know good and can talk nuts and bolts about how, you know, making stuff compact and what sort of tips and tricks you have to use to make something smaller that will fit on the wrist and still measure things accurately and things like that. So, there could be a lot of that. I think the most interesting thing to me about Chipperfield's hire is that he's under special projects, and I really like stuff, hearing something vague like that, like special projects or, you know, other duties is assigned, like that kind of stuff is like where the fun parts are. So I want to know what else is special projects. I know that's where Apple Watch came from. I'd like to know what.
Well, that's where Bob Mansfield's been for the last few years too.
Yeah.
Yes, and he's been very quiet.
He's been very quiet. We haven't heard anything about Bob Mansfield in a while. Now, here, I'm guessing that Jeff's about to yell at us to bring this to a close, but I'll close us with this. Tim Cook being able to integrate folks from outside the technology world into a technology company will be a massive accomplishment.
Yeah.
If assuming he can do it, there could be all kinds of culture clash going on that we haven't yet heard about. There could be all kinds of, you know, people going, you know, all those stupid fashion people, you know, they come in here and they, you know, we have no idea if there's an us and them mentality developing or if Tim is in fact able to make this integration be a smooth one. But if he can do it, it will be a massive management accomplishment.
Oh, yes. And it will be something that I can't imagine other companies being able to match.
Probably not. I don't think
so either.
And Apple's just going to leave, you know, Google's going to leave Apple in the dust when it comes to self-driving cars. But I think that Apple is going to be leaving some folks, not even in the dust, like in a different ballpark altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Different racetrack or something. I don't know, whatever. Interesting things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Yes. And I'm very interested in seeing how all of this plays out over the next couple of years. And Brian, you were right. I was pretty much ready to move on to another topic.
Yeah, I figured you were going to start yelling.
Yeah. Well, I see, I'm nice. I would have found a really nice way to just cut you off or Kelly off, whoever. I'm not particular, and what I was going to say was, and as long as we're sticking with our kind of Plunderpalooza theme for today, I wrote a piece this morning about how Apple totally snubbed Google from including a fingerprint sensor on the Nexus.
Is snubbed really the verb that you're thinking? It's snubbed.
No,
because it kind of seems like maybe you're thinking of another verb.
I am thinking of another verb. Well, actually, I was thinking blocked.
I see. Blocked. Is there any kind of particular blocking you had in mind, Jeff, on this family friendly show?
Yes, there is. And we're leaving it at that.
That's okay. I think we put the right imagery into most people's heads without saying.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, so
Apple. So let's talk about the physical piece of this first.
Yes. Yeah, so Apple bought Authentec back in 2012. When they bought Authentec, the first assumption that was being made was that what Apple was really after was the technology so that they could create a secure mobile payment system. Because Authentec makes the best mobile fingerprint sensor on the market. So Apple buys a company. Then the iPhone 5S comes out, and it has Touch ID, but no mobile payment system. So we end up with a smartphone that has fingerprint ID for unlocking and some authentication features.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Nexus 6, which comes out, and it has this dimple on the back about the size of, say, your thumbprint. and no sensor on it. And people were wondering at the time if there was supposed to be a sensor on this smartphone. And it turns out the answer is yes, and it was going to be the Authentic sensor, but Apple bought the company, and so Google was left with this problem.
A weird little dimple.
Yeah, where they have a space to put a sensor, but no one else is making a sensor that's good enough. So the Nexus 6 ships, and it does not have a sensor on it, and it instead just has a little dimple. Apple totally blocked them out of the market.
This is a direct manifestation. This is a direct manifestation of why Apple has as one of its goals, whenever it releases a new product or enters a new category, that it can control key technologies. And not only, of course, does Apple want that control just simply to exert that control, but they also want that control in order to have a competitive advantage over its competitors. And in this case, there was the ability to directly keep Google from doing the same thing that Apple, or at least something similar to what Apple wanted to do.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. And so the iPhone rolls out and it has this great sensor on it. Everything else rolls out and people are asking, why don't these Android phones have Touch ID?
And instead all the Android phones are just stuck with those little blue dimples.
Yeah. And dimples,
it's just
well,
a Nexus
cute
6.
On babies. Yeah.
It's just a Nexus 6. But, I mean, it's interesting to me that they clearly changed their dyes and molds somehow. So why not go ahead and change it properly and just remove the dimple entirely?
One would think.
Well, yeah, one would think. Now, okay, so here's my speculation. If you pop that back off and you look on the inside, there are little breakaway points. And those breakaway points are where that disc would pop out if the sensor were going to be there. And they were probably far enough along in production when they realized they couldn't put a sensor on that it was cheaper just to leave the dimple piece there than to make new injection molds for the backs.
Okay.
So you quoted former Motorola CEO Dennis Woodside, who was the source of the story. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
I thought it was a good quote. The secret behind the dimple is that it was supposed to be fingerprint recognition, and Apple bought the best supplier. Here's the key part. So the second best supplier was the only one available to everyone else in the industry, and they weren't there yet.
Now, Apple had to be very well aware of that, too. And so when they bought Authentic, they knew, absolutely knew, that they were buying the best fingerprint technology for a mobile device, and they were buying it for their own exclusivity. Yep, and everyone else is burned.
And Apple needs that. But so we ran over the fact that by controlling key technology, key aspects of technology or key technologies when they're entering a new market, that is important to keep competitors from doing it too. But it also means that in this case, Apple can take direct control and ownership of the security aspect of Touch ID and how Touch ID is used, not only to unlock your phone, but how it's going to be used for Apple Pay. And there's all sorts of aspects of this. This wasn't just about keeping everybody else from doing it. That's just the icing on the cake.
Right. Yeah. Apple controls the whole system. Therefore, they can create a system where they can be more certain about the overall security than other companies.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. And bonus, there was no sensor on the Nexus 6.
Right.
Yeah, and fingerprint unlocking has yet to become a thing, despite, you know, these sort of ham-fisted and clumsy attempts from Samsung at the least, and I'm sure some Motorola was doing something as well. Despite those, fingerprint recognition has not become much of a thing on Android.
No, and that tells me that these other companies that are making competing sensor systems still haven't been able to catch up to what Authentech was doing.
Yeah, and some of that's going to be timing and talent and ability, and the Authentech was first, but some of it's also going to be probably patent-oriented.
Sure, and right. The fact that Apple has complete control over the hardware and software.
Mm-hmm. But I'm sort of interested in the gap here because we've seen in the past where Android has decided to implement a feature, hardware makers in particular will implement something, whether or not it's very good. And I don't mean useful, I mean works as expected most of the time. And in a lot of cases, you know, it does, and people are like, yeah, it's all right. You know, when you ask about something in particular, and they're like, yeah, it's okay. So what's interesting to me is that these other fingerprint recognition systems are not only not as good as Authentech, but alternately are also so far behind that there's not a single Android manufacturer out there that I know of who's gone, yeah, let's put one of these in. They've all gone, no, we won't touch it.
Yeah.
And knowing about the other kinds of stuff that's been implemented in the past, it makes me wonder how bad the rest of these systems are and how far behind they are that this is the state that anything that's not an Apple device is in when it comes to fingerprint recognition.
It's like you were reading my mind. That's exactly where I was headed. Yeah. So for now, Apple gets to keep their significant lead, and everyone else is left scrambling, trying to find something that's good enough, and so far it looks like no one really has found anything else that's even good enough.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. Apple pulling another one of their master schemes and scoring technology for themselves that no one else can use, and creating another differentiator between their products and the competition.
Indeed.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. I know. It's a pattern. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course.
And, Brian, thank you as well.
Yeah.
And all of our listeners, head on over to the iTunes store and rate the show for us because it's great getting your feedback, and getting it through iTunes is a really easy way to make that happen. So thanks for listening, and we will see everyone again tomorrow.